Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you for being here.
No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It has been. It's been 5 years. It has been a while, yes.
I know. There's a lot to speak about.
But, there sure is.
But let's speak about, you know, what you do now, why I brought you here. So what the Out the Hut podcast is about people doing great things out of Hudson County. And the things that you're doing, I think, are wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. I do a lot of dog training and dog handling for movies and advertising and stuff like that. And I actually work very closely with my dog agent, All Star Animals. And so now she's even giving me more responsibility, where now I've been working with cats, even with ducks, which was really interesting because the ducks, of all things, it was for a movie with Morgan Freeman. And they had the ducks at a park by a lake, and they didn't want those ducks to go into the lake. So it was pretty hard to keep them around Morgan Freeman. And I mean, in the end, it was almost like we had to say, okay, ducks are going to be ducks. They're probably going to go in. But it's pretty exciting. Yeah, so I'm doing a lot of that. I've done quite a few feature films, 8 of them, actually. And the most recent one was Christmas versus the Walters, which was, I mean, it's a fantastic family film. Thank goodness, something, you know, a feel-good movie with one of my dogs, Watson. And he plays the stray that the family finds and, you know, going through the stress of Christmas that we all go through. And they find this dog, and it's just a really feel-good movie. And that one we wrapped Christmas of 2020, and it actually premiered in Christmas of 2021.
Oh, awesome. So the dog is actually like, saw a star role in this movie.
He does have a, he's not, it's, so it's an ensemble cast, and he's one of them.
That's awesome. So. Yeah. How is it having a movie star dog in the house? Oh, you know, is the dog a diva?
I haven't told him how special he is. So he's okay. He's okay. But yeah, it was lots of fun. You know, you learn when you go to these movie sets. And I found that since COVID, when I go on these jobs, people are so much friendlier and they're just excited to have, you know, the human contact. To be near you. And it was still, because it was, you know, filmed a year ago, it was still, you know, at the height of COVID. We were tested every day. Everybody wore a mask. We had social distancing, but people were really happy to be around each other, you know, just to be out and about. And I think that was one of the last feature films they actually shot in New York before, you know, all the restrictions for COVID.
Awesome. And so I want to go back to what you mentioned before about that you were now training cats and ducks. And so how does one get into, you know, I know dog training is something I think everyone could conceptually get their mind wrapped around, but training things like ducks, like I have a cat, it's
hard.
It's a little harder, but yeah. I could see where someone could train a cat, but a duck, those are interesting.
Yeah, well, more than training, it's wrangling. You know, it's basically leading them from point A to point B with food. In the case of a cat, you know, with a toy that you move around, you know how cats are, they're very prey-driven, so they'll follow whatever you're moving. And for most of that stuff, that's all it is just walking from point A to B. That's what you typically see. They dub in the cat meowing, or the cat jumps up on something or off. So it's just wrangling the cat more than, and the ducks, it's the same thing. The ducks are just trying to keep them in an area. You can't ask that much from a duck. You know, unfortunately now with all the CGI, there's a little less work for that kind of stuff. Understood. Still have a lot for dogs, but you know, they have a lot of really good CGI nowadays.
Understood. So you're not going to be training the Aflac duck anytime soon?
No, right? Not that one. Or the gecko.
So, you know, I think it's pretty cool. There's a lot of places, I think, that my audience would recognize your dogs from.
Absolutely.
And one is a video game, I believe.
Yes, Grand Theft Auto 5. That was my dog, Hudson. I did the motion capture for that one, and that was hours. It was 2 days, like 10-hour days. They put this, like, almost like a wetsuit on the dog with little white balls. I wasn't familiar with that. Maybe you're, you know, people that are listening to this podcast are, but they capture the motion. So I had to have the dog jump and spin and bark. So when you play Grand Theft Auto 5, the dog, his dog that's with him all the time, is actually my Hudson.
So that's awesome. So for everyone out there, you know, there's one, the dog's name Hudson. So
yes, exactly. Oh yeah, exactly.
You know, I always, you're one of the people I always bring back to when I go out, you know, traveling. I always say that everything roots back to North Bergen.
That's true.
So when I talk about, you know, even the video games you play, I found the fact.
You found the link.
And so you've been awesome at being that link, missing link to a lot of different things.
Thank you. And now actually, there's an ad that's been airing that we shot with my dog Chester probably 4 or 5 years ago. It's a Geico ad. And the gecko walks into the living room and he goes, "See, you never know what's going to happen." And water's pouring from the ceiling and they show upstairs and it's two kids with an inflatable tub in the bedroom and the dog running around like crazy barking. And that's my Chester. And it's airing every night.
All right. So
you can't miss it. The dog barking.
You know, every time I see a dog in a commercial, I'm like, I assume it's yours. I know you have a limited amount of dogs.
I wish it was always mine.
So how do you get into that field? How does one go from one getting a psychology degree in animal training?
Canine psychology.
All right.
Canine psychology.
And then taking that and making it into something where now you're on movie sets, TV sets, and video games.
Yeah, well, some of it is luck. But a lot of it is when I started training dogs, my purpose was to train basically for myself, help my friends out. But then I got into therapy work with my dogs, and I met this lady that actually did movie work. This was 23 years ago. And I said, "Oh, well, how do you get into that?" And she told me, and back then it wasn't as easy as it is now to Google, right? I had to go find the dog agent in the city, and I got an agent. Animals for Advertising, Linda, fantastic. She gave me my first opportunity, and I still work with her to this day. We started out with print work, and I had Golden Retrievers at the time. Hudson was one of them. And then it just expanded into commercials and TV shows. I've done The View, Conan O'Brien. I did SNL. My dog was the only one, Hudson again, who barked during the cold open on Saturday Night Live. He played Mitt Romney's dog.
Yes, I remember that one.
And he was the only dog. And when they had that 50th anniversary, you know, all the little snippets of all other shows, that one was included.
That's awesome.
That one was included,
so
yeah.
So he's part of SNL history as well.
So if you're
on Saturday Night Live and you're watching that, there's another link back to North Bergen.
Exactly, yeah. And then, you know, then with that, the more experience you get, you start getting, you know, more things offered to you. And the movies are always fun. It's a lot of work, you know, because it's not shooting one scene one time. It's one scene 50 times from different angles. But for the most part, it is a lot of fun.
And now, when you do, like, movie sets like that, do you feel like it's more stress on you or the animal during that time?
You know, I feel like it's more stress on me because we keep it, luckily, I've never had a problem on movie mm-hmm. sets. So, you know, you hear stories of dogs getting stressed and stuff. I've never had a problem. They've let me be my dog's advocate or mm-hmm. whichever dog I'm working with when I work with somebody else's dog. And the dog doesn't get stressed. We keep it lots of fun, you know? Yeah. It's all reward driven. So they get treats, they get toys, they get rest periods, they get, you know, and everyone's very aware. And then for the bigger productions, the American Humane is there, American Humane Association, okay. And they monitor their film and TV unit. They monitor what's going on, you know, and they make sure that everything's okay. Definitely. And they're always there to step in if you say my dog's tired. And, you know, it happened to me on one set, and I said, you know, my dog's a little tired. And they were kind of put out by it because they were on a time constraint.
Yeah, of course.
But the dog didn't understand that. Uh-huh. And so, you know, American Humane stepped in. He said, you know, guys, we need to give the dog a break. And it was fantastic.
That's awesome.
So the dog, you know, they don't get stressed. For them, it's like, yes, I'm out.
I'm out getting treats.
I'm getting treats. And then everyone always, you walk on set, they're like, oh.
now with like rewarding pets for their behavior, mm-hmm. I know there's people out there that the way they train their pets is by punishment. Don't do
yes.
that. Don't do that.
Yes.
Now, are you an advocate on how does that work? Like,
so I understand. I mean, there's, you always have to discipline, you know, a dog or a child or whatever, because I don't want to open the door and for my dog to run outside and get killed mm-hmm. by a car. So the dog needs to understand that if I say no, it's no. But, you know, there's a fine line between discipline and, you know, abuse.
No, of course.
Right?
Yes.
You don't have to hit a dog for him to listen to you. And the more you train a dog with positive reinforcement, in my experience, the more they're going to want to please you because they know what's coming.
Yes, of course.
You know, yeah. It's like Pavlov's dogs. Well, they started salivating as soon as they saw the light because they knew they were going to get a treat. So for the dogs, it's the same thing. You know, I train them with positive reinforcement since they're very young, you know, and they do understand when I say no or leave it or stuff like that. But, you know, normally they are so eager to please because it's such a good experience for them. You know, oh my gosh, you know, we're interacting. Everyone's happy with me. Everything's this. Dogs don't want you to be mad at them. You know, no animal does.
Of course.
Cats don't want you to be mad at them. You know, they understand. You know, cats might say, oh, well, you're mad. See you later.
Well, my cat, you know, sometimes my cat gets angry and starts scratching on the couch if he wants food.
Yeah.
And he knows that he's not supposed to do that.
Exactly.
So, you know, the cats are smart.
They know. Yeah, they cats, are. Yeah. Cats are very intelligent. The thing is, you know, they're more independent.
Yes.
You know, whereas a dog, you know, we've bred dogs to want to work with you. You know, do you want to be by your side, to want to hunt with you, to want to play catch, to want to fetch, you know, to want to swim with you, everything. You know?
Yeah, definitely. So tell me one about one of your favorite experiences. I know that you said you've been on movie sets, you've been on TV sets, you've written books, and we'll get to that too, because
yes.
That's how I originally met you.
Yes.
Is because of this book that we'll speak about.
Yes.
And there's plenty of, so get ready to go on Amazon and order your books.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Yes. I don't know, my favorite, everything, I've always learned something, you know, in every movie I've been to. I think my favorite, but maybe the most stressful, is we shot this MasterCard J. Crew ad, and it was 3 or 4 days, I can't remember, but it showed the dog. So it was my dog Chester again. He's a Burger Picard, which is a French Shepherd, and it showed him in Times Square jumping into this hole. Now, we did film it in Times Square, and this was at night. So even though it was stressful because, you know, it's a very busy area, it's very open and stuff, it was really exciting and fun, I mean, to see that. And then to see when they put it back together, they actually made for a Sky Movies ad they aired in Europe. They actually made a Frozen character out of him. They made a Lego character. They made a Muppet.
That's awesome.
Out of my Chester. Yeah, and I remember when they said this was stressful. They told me before I got there, they said, we're going to show you the Muppet, but, you know, it costs $20,000, so he can't grab it. And, you know, I just had this vision of him grabbing that Muppet and flinging it around or something, thinking it was a toy. And we actually worked with Kermit the Frog, too.
Oh,
so,
you did?
Yeah, so they were like, you know, the dog was looking at it like, I don't get it. He's talking and he's moving, but he doesn't smell like he's real.
That's awesome. Now, I imagine that you have so many toys or replicas of your pets
yes.
in the house, right?
Yes. Yes,
so,
I wanted that Muppet, but there's no way they're getting it to me now.
That's awesome. Now, so let's talk about your books.
Yes, fantastic.
You know, when I first met you, you had just come out with Chester Gigolo.
Yes.
I think it was the
Diary of a Dog Star.
There we go. You see, I have a good memory.
You have a very good memory. Yes. And let me tell you how that came about.
Yes,
so
please.
When I got my Chester, again, the same one from the Geico ad, I met a lot of people that own that breed, and it's a very rare breed, but, you know, there was a group on Facebook. And so it was very new to all of us. You know, everyone, you know, maybe their dog was a year old, 2 years old, but nobody had a dog that was that they'd had a long time. So we were kind of sharing stories. So every day I would write a little story. Oh, well, my teeth came out today. You know, oh, well, my ear's up. Look at that. Now my ear's up. And I started writing this, and I would send it to all my friends. You know, I wasn't putting it on Facebook or anything. I was just sending it to my group of friends. It was like 20 people. Unbeknownst to me, one of my agility acquaintances, because I compete in canine agility, and one of them, she was a publisher. And I just knew her from her dogs from agility, because when we go to these agility events, we talk dog. That's what we talk.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't talk our jobs. Who cares? Who wants to talk about the regular job?
We're here for our dogs. Yeah,
exactly.
Of course.
And so she, after like a few months, she goes, hey, if you're planning on keeping this up, she goes, I love this. She goes, I laugh every night. I look forward to it. If you keep it up for a year, I want to publish it. And I was like, really? And she did.
That's awesome. That's
and
amazing.
That's how Diary of a Dog Star came up, because it was literally his diary.
Yeah, so this is real. That's Chester's life.
That's Chester's life until he was a year old. Yes,
yes.
So he started it all. And then I started writing articles for magazines, and both national and international, actually. I was doing a weekly thing on Three Dog Bakery. It was a weekly blog also, and it was, you know, on different things, on dog breeds, on things like that. Then, you know, COVID started and they kind of stopped doing that. So, you know, things changed a little. But I've been writing ever since I wrote that book. I wrote five more.
five.
Five more?
So my bookshelf is missing five. I have three right now.
It is missing. We'll have to set you up with the other ones. And then I'm actually a contributing author to Animal Stars.
All right.
Yeah, it's behind the scenes with your favorite animal actors. And that was written by American Humane. And it's, I think, 15 or 16 of us that contributed to it. It's the trainer who trained Eddie from Frasier.
Okay.
That dog. It's the one that trained Seabiscuit, the horse. So we each have a chapter in there talking different trainers, talking about it.
About famous.
About, you know, what it's like to be an animal trainer. So it's behind the scenes and, you know, you kind of tell a few stories. It's really interesting.
Okay. So I imagine that circle small of people who have dogs or animals that have been on TV, been on movies.
Yeah, it's not huge, especially in this area. Yeah, yeah. I met those other trainers out in L.A. because I was on the Hero Dog Awards with one of my dogs, with Hudson.
Right.
Again, Hudson was everywhere.
He's a star.
Yeah. And they flew us out to L.A. to shoot that, yeah.
That's awesome that these animals are able to, you know, have these experiences.
They have given me they've helped me get really good experiences and everything.
Do you have a favorite animal on TV or a movie that's not yours?
That's not mine?
Or even, like, you know, historically, maybe any movies, you know?
Well, you know, I'm partial to Eddie because, I mean, I think that dog's amazing.
All right.
On Frasier. And I keep thinking, you know, I wish I had something like that because I think that'd be a lot of fun.
All right.
Like, yeah, to have a recurring role like that. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they'd be like, that's my dog.
I know.
Everybody would know the name.
Exactly. And it'd just be fun to go. And I'm sure after a while, that's not as stressful for the person either because, you know, you're in a groove. You know everybody. And, you know, because when you get to a movie set, you don't really know anybody.
Of course, you know? You go in there.
You go in there kind of, I don't know.
The animals is fresh to the people as well. So I imagine being on a set for 5 years, they know how to work.
Can you imagine? It must be fantastic. I'd love that.
It's like clockwork, probably.
I'm there.
So tell me about, like, what's your one of your latest projects that you're excited for?
Well, like I said, the latest one was the movie, Christmas Versus the Walters.
And when is that coming out?
That came out. Okay, that came out this past December.
So where can people?
Everywhere. You can stream
Netflix. Hulu. All right.
Hulu. You can stream it anywhere.
I know what I'm watching tonight.
It is. And it is such a feel-good movie. I mean, that's what it is.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a feel-good movie. And then I've been doing just a lot of, right now, commercials and stuff.
All right.
They haven't started shooting any movies yet in this, you know, because most of them are in the New York City area, you know, Brooklyn or whatever, because that's where the studios are. So until the restrictions lift, it's really hard. And every time we go into the city, we have to get, you know, tested, even though you're vaccinated.
Do dogs have to get tested?
No.
No, they don't? All right. Because I heard that during the time that they said animals might be able to get COVID.
To transmit. Yeah, and transmit. Yes. Yeah, but no.
All right.
No.
So no.
Nothing.
So no negative test or vaccines.
No, thank goodness. Knock on wood. No mask for Chester either. Yeah, nothing. Nothing. But yeah, so I'm hoping now that more things are going to open up.
Definitely.
And like I said, I'm working with All Star Animals more, helping, you know, with other animals. And the ducks thing was just absolutely fascinating for me because.
So if we see you at Braddock Park right now.
That's right. You might see me there working the ducks.
Yeah. Just getting some practice in.
The kayaks and the ducks.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Let me take a sip.
Yes.
So you said you have your movie out and you're doing commercials. Now, one commercial that I love and till this day is the baby, the e-commerce.
Oh,
E-trade
my gosh.
Baby.
The E-trade commercial.
Yes,
yeah.
And I don't know if it's that I'm getting older and the people I'm telling are younger, but this commercial ran
a long time,
quite frequently.
Yes, it's like this Geico commercial that's running constantly, and it's like it goes away and then it comes back, and it's great. And that E-Trade commercial was funny because all the dog had to do, as you know, was sat there. He barked once at the camera, looked to the side, barked again, and looked back at the camera and barked again. So to get that, it was, and they didn't want him moving more than that. Because it was on a platform, and every time you moved, the camera moved. So that was interesting. You don't realize how much work goes into, you know, a 20-second spot.
Oh,
you really don't.
Yeah, I could imagine.
You know, you're like, wait, that was it? That's all that was going to happen, you know? So, yeah, no, you don't realize that. But then when you see it, and I'm always watching out for commercials, so I'm not the typical person that you know, during a commercial, I run to the ladies' room. No, during a commercial, I'm sitting watching, there. That's what I'm watching. And I go, okay, show started. And I can go get that glass of water.
Now, are you waiting to see one of your pets, or are you waiting? Or
I am.
Are you analyzing, making sure no one's trying to take
No, normally I'm waiting. Spot? I'm waiting to see one of mine. But, you know, the most interesting thing is I normally find them online with somebody putting in one of the groups. Who's, you know, my Watson is a Kronfurlander, the dog that you'll see later on with the Christmas versus the Walters. And, you know, I'll go on the Kronfurlander group and somebody will go, whose dog is this? Or I'll go on the, you know, Picard group and they'll say, whose dog is this? And that's how I normally find them.
Oh, so
it's fantastic.
So someone finds it for you, you don't have to do the work.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. Yes. I mean, I look, but sometimes I just don't find them. I just don't find them. Yeah. And one time this one guy, we did a Samsung shoot and that was very interesting because it was in a Bugatti.
No.
Yes. And I didn't know what kind of car that was. And we got there and they, you know, they towed it in and they put it down and they wanted, you know, Chester to jump into the Bugatti and sit there by this guy. And it was just a still shot, but they put mud on them and it was supposed to look like they were driving fast and they're, you know, taking a selfie with their Samsung. So, you know, I had to sign all sorts of, you know, non-disclosure agreements to do this. And so we get there and they tell me to tell him to get in. So I go kennel for him to get in. And then everyone starts panicking. Is he going to scratch the inside of the car? And I said, probably. I mean, he's got nails. It's leather. I don't know. So then they had to cover it. I mean, that was really interesting. But that shoot, I remember saying, I want to see, you know, what the finished thing looks like because it's months later. So sometimes a lot of jobs I don't even find.
I mean, also, there's things that you get paid out for, closed, and never
find it. But this one, somebody in Germany said, okay, whose Picard is this? And posted the picture. And I'm like, that's him.
That's amazing. So so Chester has a great life. He's in Bugattis, right?
I know, yeah.
So the books you have now, tell me kind of like, we'll go through each book and kind of I know something about the diary of the dog, like we just talked about.
That's the one, yes.
And then you have some actually training books that can help people out if they have an animal right now that's scratching up their couches and doesn't stay on a leash.
Exactly. So I did the, and it's funny because my publisher for the first three books was a different one than later on. And the one for the first three books, which was A Diary of a Dog Star. Then when I sent her the manuscript for... Insider training, not trading. I thought it was hysterical because she said, oh, I wanted to title it something about training, but she said, how about insider training? And I thought that was such an interesting play on words.
Oh, yeah, no, I love
that. It was fantastic. But to this day, some people look at it and go, well, why is it called insider trading? And I go, no, it's not about finances. It's not about finances. So then that one was followed up, and that's a fantastic little training book. It's not complicated. It's the typical things that make your dog easier to live with. You know, sit, stay, down, leave it, calm, kennel, quiet, all that stuff.
Now, is the phrase, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, is that true? Or
it's not true. Okay. Let me give you an example. Sure. So we had a golden retriever that was about 12 or 13 years old at the time, and we lived in Florida. And, you know, in Florida and St. Petersburg, it rains a lot. And so every morning we'd go out back then, we went out to get the newspaper. And every morning we'd go out, it was at the end of the sidewalk and it was raining. And so we thought, we're gonna train him to go get the paper. And we trained him at this age. But the best part is, he understood the concept. But one morning he runs out all excited to get the paper, he grabs the paper and now he's only holding the plastic. So the paper slips out. So he brought the plastic in and he was so proud of himself. Here it is. But we were able to teach him. It's not hard.
Now, can you teach that to a cat?
Probably not.
Probably not? All right. Okay. I didn't know what kind of expectations to have from a cat.
No, tone him down. Tone him down. Yeah. So then after insider training, mm-hmm. I wrote another one, which they titled Head of the Pack.
Yes.
And this was just, you know, advanced training. So it's more like, almost like party tricks. You know, play dead, roll over, cover yourself in the blanket, do a beg, jump to my arms, stuff like that.
I even had seen videos of them jumping up, looking like they were dancing
on
the 2 feet.
Yep, dancing on the 2 feet, yes, spinning around. Yes, yeah, so all of that. And you know, with dog training, all you have to do is train a little bit every day. 5-10 minutes a day. If you do it maybe 2 or 3 times a day, that's even better.
So it doesn't take that long. So you don't need to dedicate
hours and hours. No, it's not. And you may think they're not getting it, but let me tell you, the day they do get it, you'll see. They get it. They get it because they are paying attention. Again, with positive reinforcement, it's a very powerful tool. You know, it's like when you teach a person something and I say, no, you're doing it wrong. Well, if I said to you, yeah, exactly, you know, keep doing it like that. Every time you take a correct step, you're going to be more eager to do it correctly.
Understood.
You know, than if when you do it wrong, we're all going to do something wrong and something right. Well, let's focus on the positive. And with dogs, it works fantastically.
Now, do you find that because you're able to train animals and understand them, like you said, you have a degree in psychology for animals, are you able to use that and use that effectively with people?
I wish. But a lot of the behaviors, yes, are similar because a lot of it is instinctual. And, you know, humans behave through instinct a lot, too. So a lot of the behaviors, yes.
Yeah, like we were saying, like the positive reinforcement.
Exactly.
Like I know that you probably won't be able to teach someone to sit down. Like
right, I know. Sit, I said sit and I'll give you a hamburger. Although, you know what? You call kids to a table because dessert's ready. Let me tell you, they're coming to the table. They dessert. I know I did. So, yeah. But then those are the three books I wrote.
And that's if you go on YouTube now and you type in Christina Potter HuddPost, you'll see our 2017 video.
Yes.
Of I had a Rami Walks the Beat and he.
Yes.
We went to your release party on here on River Road.
Yes.
And it was a great time.
Yes.
Rami said that he didn't feel like he was worthy to be around because it was so elegant and he had a leather jacket on.
Now you guys looked great.
He was dropping hors d'oeuvres on the floor. It was hilarious.
No, we won't tell anybody about that. Nobody's going to hear that part.
No, I definitely left it in for the editing.
No, that was fun. That was fun. So then after that, I thought, let's write some books for kids. Because I thought that would be nice.
So you have
right?
kid books now.
I do.
That's awesome. That's great.
So one of my dogs is a Chinese crested. You know, the little hairless ones that
yes, that's
that look favorite, like little
the,
ponies.
The one I saw in the picture.
Exactly.
That's my favorite one.
That's
right away.
Pepe. So when
Pepe is a perfect name.
It is, right?
Pepe's
got a little attitude. He walks around like he owns the house. So Pepe had some issues when he was born. He had some issues in his leg, so he had to have surgery. So he had a steel rod put in and pins and everything. By the time he was five months old, he'd had two very big surgeries. So we were told that he would never run. He would walk, but with a limp. Well, Pepe defied the odds, and he is a two-time agility champion.
Oh, wow.
So not only does he run, but he does obstacles.
Runner.
He jumps. He climbs, you name it. So.
And is that something you had in mind for him, or?
Once he became a champion, I thought, this is really inspirational. You know, we could all, I mean, this dog went through so much. Mm-hmm. You know, the good thing about dogs is that they, for the most part, they don't give up. You know, for them, every day is a happy day. He'd wake up with his cast on his leg, wagging his tail, and, you know, and he just kept trying, and he was in pain, right? And it's hard with dogs. You can't really give them too many painkillers because then they forget the pain's there,
mm-hmm.
and they can injure themselves. So you have to let them feel a little bit of pain. But every day he was happy, and, you know, we started doing a little, physical therapy with him and having him take small jumps just to strengthen his legs. And he loved it. So, and then he became a champion. I said, I have to write about this.
Oh, yes.
So my publisher said, well, why don't you write it as told by Chester?
Oh, all right. I like that one.
Yes. Right?
Chester's around.
Exactly.
He already has his own book. So.
Right. Because Chester is like 6 or 7 months older than Pepe, so he was there the whole time
yes.
when Pepe was there. So the story, it's called Pepe Learns to Run Again. And the illustrations are great. I got an illustrator. I can't draw. And it's just a very inspirational story, so much so that I actually published it in Spanish as well.
Oh, great.
Yes. Yes. So it's in both English and Spanish. And people seem to really like it. You know, I got called by a library in California, and they were going to, I haven't checked in on them, but they were going to stock it because it was just so inspirational.
No, we got to make sure we get it here
yes.
at the North Bergen Library.
That's right.
Do you know if there are any local here? Or
I don't know.
Or is that a big push? I think that's what we have to do. That's my job.
That's
right
your
job.
That's right, James. Come on.
We're going to get them in there because...
That's right.
Come on, you're part of the community. I
exactly.
think it's something to look up to.
Yeah,
and
thank
then
you.
Also at the same time, Pepe is a resident of North
exactly.
Bergen. He deserves the praise.
Exactly,
too.
Exactly. He's a Jersey dog, darn it. So
now, with this book, have you I know, you know, we're thinking far ahead, but you ever consider maybe there might be a movie that could possibly be...
It's funny you should say that. I will send you the link to, I have a video that shows everything he went through from the day he started limping and we realized he had a problem at 4 months old to when he ran his championship run.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a tearjerker. It's a tearjerker because, I mean, you saw this poor little dog going through so much, but, you know, it's very inspirational.
Definitely. And I know that's, you know, a good mindset for anyone out here.
Yes.
I know I had a friend who was also a dog trainer, just like that did the agility. Is that, what do you consider?
Yeah, agility.
Okay.
Agility competition,
What he said about animals is, he's like, they don't know when they're hurt. They don't know.
They don't know.
They just continue going forward.
Exactly, so. Exactly. So, and the good news is they don't know when they're hurt. They keep fighting, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think lots of times for people, you just the thought, you kind of feel sorry for yourself and you think, what if I can't? Well, dogs don't really think that way. They're like, I want to do it. I mean, of course, any animal can give up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in general, you know, we just kept it very happy for him. I mean, he went through a lot, but let me tell you, he's got a little attitude now though. He walks, you put a little sweater on him and he walks in like he owns the place. I mean, he's all of 9 pounds.
Oh.
He thinks he's all that in a bag of chips.
Well, if it's okay with you, maybe we'll do a video. We'll put it up on HuddPost.
Of course.
You know, maybe a small trailer of what could be a movie about Pepe.
Absolutely.
Maybe somebody pick it up from there.
There you go. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, cool.
That would be fantastic.
We'll definitely work on that one.
Yes.
And the book as well. I think that'd be great to have a book like that, and especially it's available in Spanish.
Yes.
Why not have it here at...
Exactly.
All the available libraries.
Exactly.
When I was a kid, I went to Union City Library, but I lived in North Bergen. I had
Oops.
To sneak over. It was closer. It was so much closer. But now they have a North Bergen Library downtown as well. So there's more access.
Yeah, exactly.
But all these books are available on Amazon as well, right?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can find them.
And now, do you direct sell as well or no?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
I'm pretty sure that's the preference to have them.
Yeah, I can direct sell because that way I can, you know, sign them for people. So if they want to dedicate it to somebody. But it's... Amazon is so convenient nowadays.
Yeah, of course.
Prime, you get it the next day.
Of course. But, you know, here at HuddPost, we support local. And
what we do is
we try to make sure that the person is getting the most profit they can.
Of course. Thank you. Yes.
So
yes.
Is there a website that we can go to? How's that?
I don't have it set up for that.
Okay.
But you can find me at interpreter@optonline.net.
All
I know
right.
That's weird, but it's because I'm an interpreter. or if somebody wants to text me.
You
know, 201-450-3298. I'll be happy to, you know, send them an autographed copy, make it out to whoever they want to
make
it out to.
There you go, autographed copy right
That's
here.
Right. That's right. They don't even have a pawtograph, too, because I had a paw print made out of Chester's paw, so it's his paw going on there.
That's amazing. I think I need one of those.
Yes,
and from Hudson, too.
Yes. Of course.
And I still have your three books here. They were signed to my pop, who had unfortunately passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. You know. Things happen with the animals, but I really appreciated that. I'm sure he appreciated it too. We started going through some of the training, so.
Oh, good. How'd it work out?
It's good. He was always a great dog. He was very disciplined, you know, by my side all the time.
Yeah.
He couldn't dance. I couldn't get him to dance like that, but neither can I, so.
No, neither can I. Neither can I. And it's also a function, you know, a lot of the tricks that you see dogs do, it's also a function of their anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't expect a bulldog to dance on his hind legs because that's a very top-heavy dog.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a function of their anatomy, too.
Yeah, so is it possible to teach each breed how to do the things that you teach your dogs, or are certain breeds just not prone to learning?
Well, so if their anatomy allows it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Or I mean,
yes.
more so like this, not more jumping up and down, I understand, like not every dog could jump over, you know,
I see what you mean.
Yeah,
so the thing is, different breeds were bred for different things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a breed like a retriever, they're bred to work in close contact with man, so they are much easier to train. Right, they're more amenable to training. If you take a breed like a sight hound, such as an Afghan hound, a Saluki, they are bred to hunt by themselves and bring back whatever, you know, take it down and or not necessarily bring it back, but let them know where it is. And then the hunter goes out and gets it, right? So they're very ancient breeds. They're very independent. A lot of sight hounds have been described as cats in dogs' bodies. So they are obviously... much more difficult to train. It's not that you can't.
And I understand you work with Afghan hounds. Is that correct?
Yes, I had an Afghan hound. Yeah, Desi for many years. Yeah, 10 years. She was fantastic. But highly intelligent. But some breeds are much more difficult to train than others. And the thing is just, you know, don't get frustrated when you train. And understand that just like people have certain limitations, dogs do. You know, you're not going to get frustrated just because, you know, your Afghan hound isn't going to retrieve a ball outside. That's, you know, it just doesn't come naturally. Like my Chinese Crested, he won't retrieve a ball.
Oh, right.
So yeah, I throw it. He'll look at it like, oh, okay, there it goes.
And is that because you're not trying to train him, or is that just not instinctual to him?
Instinct has a lot to do with it. So it's a matter of both nature and nurture, right? I mean, you can't train out instinct. You know, I mean, if it's there, it's there. You can try to control it. You can try to harness it the way you want to harness it, but it's going to be there. So my Chester is very well behaved. I can have him off leash anywhere. He's very obedient, but he's still a herding dog. So every once in a while, not so much now, but when he was younger, he would see geese on the waterfront. Well, he'd want to herd them. You know, so I'd say, come, and he'd say, give me a sec. Let me herd these geese and come back. So, you know, you have to understand the instinct of a breed before you go out and say, oh, so I want to get, you know, my 18 kids. I don't know. I don't want to rule, you know, point out any breed. But, for example, a Chinese Crested would probably not be a good breed for a very noisy household with a lot of kids being very active because it's a small dog. It can be delicate, right? So they're maybe a little more relaxed. They don't want to sit there and play. So then in that case, you definitely want a Golden Retriever, a dog whose instinct is to interact and to play and to. So, and I think lots of times dogs end up in shelters because maybe they're not matched up with the right family. Not because there's anything wrong with the dog, but because the family maybe didn't take the time, you know, to study what breed traits does this dog have.
Understood.
You know, they'll get a Sheltie because they're so cute, you know, like a miniature Lassie. But those dogs bark a lot. If you live in a condo, you know, here in our area, and you don't want the neighbors to go, why is your dog barking at 3 o'clock in the morning? So you need to understand what the breed instinct is.
Yeah, when I speak to people and I told them, hey, Google their dog, see their personality. They don't understand that each animal, like each breed, has their own personality.
Exactly.
Amongst that, obviously each animal having its
unique
personality.
Of course.
But there's a trait that goes with each one of them. Some are playful, some are
absolutely
lethargic and kind of.
Yes, breed traits.
My dog, the couch dog, is what
exactly.
I mean,
yeah. Yes, yeah, exactly. Breed traits are there. You know, instinct is there. You know, if I could go out and train my, I don't know, my Chihuahua, you know, to go bird hunting with me, well, it's probably not going to work. I mean, I'm sure somebody could figure out how to do it, but if you take a Labrador Retriever, it comes naturally to them, you know?
Yes, understand.
It's like they're programmed to do this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, your comment of Googling your breed, absolutely, before you get a dog,
Google it,
get to know it.
Or even if your dog now that you have at home,
absolutely,
you don't know
perfect.
Much, just, that's a good way to start.
It's a perfect way to start, absolutely. And then you know what motivates your dog too, you know, how you can motivate the dog, what they need to be happy. There are some breeds that they're working dogs. You know, you take a Doberman, it's a working dog. It's probably not going to be happy if you're working 15 hours a day outside of the house and the dog walker comes in once a day.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's probably not going to be happy. So, yeah, so you need to know what your breed needs.
Definitely.
So, yeah, guys, everybody, Google your breed.
Now, do you offer training to people?
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
So is that a service that you do, or is that for, you know, they have to be Hollywood dogs?
No. Okay. I do it.
Okay.
I do it. I just started a walk and train group up in the park. Yes. And so basically it's just to walk for like 45 minutes with your dog. And train them as you're walking. So each person is walking. I'm not walking their dog. I'm just walking alongside them, and I'm, you know, asking them what issues they have. This one lady the other day had an issue with her dog, you know, being too active against squirrels. So we worked on that. Another one, she wants her dog to pay attention to her when there's another dog around. So that type of training. But yeah, I train.
All right, sweet. So at the phone number that we said before,
absolutely.
Right? All right, now what I'll do is I'll leave that in the description as well if you want.
Perfect.
So,
yes.
So we'll
yes.
say, hey, if you need your animal train, here's, if, come on, it's you, your dogs have been on Grand Theft Auto.
Yes.
Movies that we're about to watch on Netflix or Hulu
yes.
today.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I think it's, you know, it's amazing the things that you're doing.
Yes.
And I'm so happy that, one, you're a resident of Hudson County,
yep,
and that you're able to show people that things can be done here. And I think that's one of the main things I've been trying to do with the podcast.
Yes.
Is saying, hey, whatever dreams you have,
you can do them in Hudson County.
You don't need to wait till that next step. Wait till I get here. Wait till I get to LA. No, you can start from here. And
there are a lot of opportunities in Hudson County. Absolutely.
Definitely. And I think you're one person to look up to. And
thank you.
And I'm so glad that you came to the podcast. And
thank you.
And we'll continue doing things. And COVID definitely stopped us from doing a lot of things.
But
now that I know you're in the park, I'll definitely join. I'll do some videos over there.
Oh, sounds fantastic.
Yeah, this will be
good.
Fun.
Good.
So thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much, James. I appreciate it.
Do you have anything else you want to leave the audience with, just in case?
There's one more book.
Okay.
It's Hudson and Rodney Go to New York, and it's actually just describing New York. It's a series of, you know, Hudson and Rodney go to. So I'm planning on writing more different places again. Because of COVID, it was a little slow doing that also because my illustrator, you know, I wasn't available. But I plan on doing that. And yeah, if anybody wants help with training, or I mean, if they just want to shoot me a text and want me to help them out with a text, I'll be happy to.
All right, that's awesome. Hey, we're hooking up the Hot Post audience.
See, that's right.
You know, if you have an unruly cat or dog,
yes,
or duck, you know.
Right.
You know, I've seen some strange animals in North Bergen.
That's right.
I've seen some roosters on 67th Street.
Work with roosters, too. Just no insects, please.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. And I think there was wolves. There was a wolf.
Really?
I think that's what they said. Or
it's possible.
Coyote, you know. There's
sure.
A,
sure.
So can you trade those?
I don't think so. Right. And I'll just leave you with this funny thing. I was out last night on the waterfront walking, you know, two of my dogs. And it was dark out, but it wasn't that late. It was like 8 or 9 or something. And one of my dogs was off leash, and which I don't recommend unless it's a very, very, very safe area and there's nothing else around. And he ran ahead of me a few feet. And then the other one, who was on leash, looked over and stopped. And he was like smelling at something, and it was a skunk.
Oh.
Thank goodness the skunk ignored us and the dog off leash didn't see it. It would have been a very different outcome if it had.
My cat used to roam outside, and one day came back in, it smelled of skunk. So I was looking around trying to figure out where it was. It was the cat.
The cat.
Oh, yes.
Did you try the tomato juice?
Oh, everything.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, no. He still stinks to this day.
Yes. Every time he gets wet, right? Yeah, I had that happen to one of my golden retrievers, too. Yeah, yeah.
But pleasure to have you on.
Thank you so much, James. I appreciate it.
I look forward to many other books that you release.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to this movie. That's the first thing I'll be doing when I get upstairs.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.